Homestyle Aged Care, the fifth quarter.
As it's hurled back into play, we're into the last rites of this one. Tapped down by Blitzarves, fisted away by Smith, and Geelong's season is officially in free fall. It's not just the loss tonight, but it's the injuries that have come with it. Yep, and those injuries are Jack Henry. It's precautionary with a knock to the throat, so hopefully that is not something serious enough that he won't play against St Kilda on Thursday night, five-day turnaround. Tanner Bruin went off in the third quarter after being tackled to ground. We didn't see his head hit the ground, and even the replays show that, so we're not certain of why he didn't play out the contest, but the Cats will provide us with an update at some stage, and Jeremy Cameron will, I think that was plain to all, to see. Reg Tui, you've played the game and you've got an idea of what injuries look like, but you suspect maybe a fractured collarbone?
Yeah, it looked collarbone. It didn't quite feel like he was hanging onto his shoulder. It looked a bit higher than that, and there is no quick fix for that, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong, but I suspect that's the last we've seen of Jez.
Here's a Giants song. I think the key line in the song is "We will never surrender." 39
well,
points
down.
I have
to take your word for it because I took the bloody.
You took the headset off. You didn't want to hear it.
Listen to that trash.
Sounds like a German beer hall song. Oh, 39 points beer, they man. Were down. You've got to. As much as the Cats' injuries impacted and lack of rotations, fair effort from the Giants, who'd kicked three goals until the 25-minute mark of the third quarter to get back into the game.
Yeah, they were pretty good, and we said they were streaky pre-game, and I thought the Cats had done more than enough midway through the third to hold on for the win, but when they get hot, they get red hot, and I'm not sure what it was. Was it nine goals of the last 10?
Nine of the last 10.
Yeah, so, I mean, just caught fire. The Cats ran soundly out of steam and were hanging on for dear life, and may probably did well to hang on as long as they did, truthfully. But that is just a disastrous result.
So 9-8, 6 to play. The next four, St Kilda at home, Melbourne at the MCG, Collingwood at the MCG, Essendon at home. They'll start warm favourites against the Bombers, who, when we talk about seasons being in free fall, it has been for a heck of a long time. And then it's North Melbourne at Marvel and Richmond here. Right now, you're only guaranteed two of those, which gets you to 11, and that's not enough.
What are we saying playoffs is?
Oh, I would think you need 12 or 13 really to make the wild card playoff, and you probably need 14.
Yeah, they'll pick up one, at worst one or two of those ones that we're now saying are genuine coin flips. There's no way they're going to drop every one of those games, but it's just a disaster for where the season was at 6 or 7 weeks ago. I mean, there were flag favourites after that Sydney game. The first one, when they went back-to-back against Brisbane and Sydney, there were a lot of people's flag favourites. Looked like they were ready to lock away a top four, and the season has disintegrated since then. Wonder if Greiser might be one that could come back in.
Well, you think they'd be looking at Myers, maybe Polkinghorne.
Jesus Christ, the janitor. Stick anyone in there Warple. And kick it inside 450.
It's hard to believe the Cats, I mean, you know, we're sitting here pontificating from the outside, but, you know, the recruiting department has gone and got Warple on a four-year deal. You don't go and get players from other clubs on four-year deals to play in the twos. And he's been in the twos now for effectively, three quarters of the season?
Yeah.
So just off the Cats' Twitter, Toddy Nicklick said, why did Geelong get Stanley to play another year just to play VFL? Also, why convince Myers not to have a knee operation but don't play him? Doesn't seem sensical. In the last quarter, we needed a ruckman so Neil could be the big forward. Kicking inside 50 wasn't great. Look, Geelong got overrun.
The Reece one's a good point.
Yeah,
the Reece Stanley one.
Why just get him to play if you're only playing him in the VFL?
Because I think he would have played on this year knowing full well that I'm probably going to play. He would have thought maybe 10 games, I'll be the rotation option. But the only game he played well.
Did.
And then the rest Mitch, which is fair enough, young player playing a really physical position. Why not just play him? Play the guy who's played 250-odd games and, staggering.
And it allows you then to play others like De Koning in their rightful position. I mean, to start the last quarter, Shannon Neal was in the ruck. It seemed to be sort of all over the place. You've got De Koning, you know. Anyway, it is a good point. And Stanley, I mean, Stanley is a ruckman. That's his position. You know what he can do. Is he going to play like Polly Farmer? No, but he's going to give you something. Yes, and he showed that in the game that he played.
He won't have the opposition ruckman take 51 hitouts on him, though.
No.
Like, he's say what you like about Reece. He's highly competitive. We know he's a freak athlete. And he's got good craft.
I legitimately thought the new rule in the ruck would help Reece Stanley.
Like Reece, yeah.
That who is athletic has a good leap.
His papers are stamped. Yeah. Quite clear. Like, yeah. Jed Buse, his papers, yeah, are absolutely, yeah, stamped.
But why get Jed back?
Yeah.
Seems,
he's getting paid, what, 150, 175 to run around in the VFL?
Maybe if you spoke to Jed, he knew that that was going to happen, but it seemed very strange. It started in that practice game where he did not get on the field in a practice game. Mm. When they're running 26 around, he sat on the bench for the entire game. It seemed a bit strange. Andrew Daly joins us each and every week, and we really appreciate your input, Andrew. He said, it's hard to walk away from this one happy. Hopefully Tanner and Jack are short-term. Fingers crossed for Jezza. Was a lot of good things early, and there was a lot of fight late, but just overrun in the end. Pretty flat. Good call again, guys. So Andrew always has a measured take on his Cats getting beaten. If Cameron's done for the year, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see. You'd have to think there's a fair chance, given he's being walked in a wheelchair to the hospital,
that it's
a serious injury that is not going to be rectifying itself in a couple of weeks' time. What do the Cats do now for the remainder of the season? Do they bring in a few players? Do they, you know, Geelong are there to win at the pointy end. Getting into a wild card, do they risk that by playing a few younger players? Probably some decisions. I'm sure they'll have those discussions going forward.
Yeah, it's probably a free hit is probably, I don't know if we're quite there yet. But if the Cats did some craziness around selection and younger players coming in, and I know we saw Jez play down back, but if they threw the magnets around next week and it didn't work, I think we'd probably all go, they had to try something. So I just wonder if some of those young guys, if there is a couple of debuts to come in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I think we'd all like to see it. I think if nothing else, it'll breed a bit of energy for the supporters. But yeah, that's shambolic.
Joey Kazina, season is done. Injuries and skill level are just lacking, especially going inside 50. Midfield needs a major overhaul. I prefer Cats now to plan for 2027. So I'm sure they always have one eye on 2027,
yeah,
in terms of their planning. But you can see what they do with the team and how they shape it. I mean, we all scratch our head as to why Grime Myers isn't playing. Warple is another one we've mentioned there. Then they have a few kids, like Polkinghorne, Maller, could he play or is he not?
Oh, I think nothing against Jesse Maller. He's had a wonderful season.
He's coming from a fair way back.
Although he was an All-Australian at under-18 level. He's no mug.
Right.
But he's kicked 30 goals in the VFL.
Great start. And Polkinghorne's probably ahead of him, a year ahead.
Well, he is, yeah. Yeah, the only thing that's hurt Polkinghorne is that Polkinghorne would have played by now, I suspect, if he hadn't have been hurt, but... Yeah, that's footy.
Was the injury?
It was foot related.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but you know, he's got back. Like the thing, the positive for Geelong is that their injury list is so minimal. It's Barker coming off a knee as an under 18. It's Conway who we'll ever see again. I don't know. Stengel, not injured but not playing. I suspect that's probably, you know, it's unlikely we'll see him in the hoops again. So there are reinforcements there. You know, can Jeremy Cameron be replaced? Absolutely not.
Nope.
But you can still fashion a lineup that is still...
Yeah.
You think Edwards is... Look, as much as it's listed, I admit, I suspect that's a bit of management.
It's funny how quickly at this level, or any level really, but football can change. As you mentioned, Reg, 6 weeks ago, the Cats were absolutely flying. Their forward handball was flying. They were tailing up teams. They were scoring at will. And now it's 6 weeks later, they've lost five of the last six, and we're talking about how they plan for the rest of the year and then into next year.
Yeah, they've had so many tight losses, and this is absolutely glass half full sort of stuff here. And I know every team could probably say this, but a couple of results go slightly differently. We're probably looking at it a lot differently. So provided they could get some sort of a run on and get back to anything like their best, it isn't inconceivable they do damage in September, I think. We all probably feel right now going all the way is a bridge too far, but I mean, we shouldn't write the season off in its entirety. Far out, it feels like we've dug a big hole for ourselves.
I'd say a win now for the Cats for the season would be to make the finals, win one final. So, particularly if Cameron's done for the year.
So you're not talking win a playoff. You win the playoff and then win a final.
Yeah, win a final. Well, make the wild card. Maybe win the wild card.
Yeah. Like,
They can't win it without Cameron.
No, I think that would be... I mean, yeah. If you look at... So it's, you've got Hawthorn, Brisbane, Adelaide, Melbourne, Collingwood all ahead of them as things stand. They'll fall even further down and you're talking your Bulldogs and St Kildas. Head-to-head in a one-off game... I'm not terrified of many of them. Maybe Brisbane at the minute, but even the Hawks, Adelaide, Melbourne, certainly Collingwood. They're more than capable of getting into finals and beating a couple of those teams. There's no question. Whether or not they will, I don't know, but I just can't see them doing it 3 or 4 weeks back to back to back and maybe throw in a trip to Perth. Like that, it's just not going
to
happen,
is it? Love to see, you know, players sort of play positions that we think they're better suited to. The coaching staff, I mean, they don't, or they, you know, like to mix it up, which is fine. But today, you know, Jack Henry was forward again.
Yeah.
And before he got injured, he was offering nothing really. Mm. You know, you just wonder why that experiment continues. I mean, we could have asked James Kelly that they have 5 marking options and then they add Jack Henry, who's a marking option effectively.
Yeah.
And one of your better defenders. It doesn't sort of make any sense. We've mentioned DeConing, why is he playing, you know, Blitzov started in the ruck, which was great. And then when the game was on the line, they had Shannon Neal in the ruck and Blitzov's up forward. Now, I maintain that Mark Blitzov's best position is in defence. Now, are O'Sullivan and DeConing ahead of him? Yes. His next best position is in the ruck, where he can follow the game around. The play is read for him to a degree. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to read the play. When he's in defence, someone else reads the play, and he's got unbelievable reach and stride. He can get there to impact. But when he's got to play forward, you've got to read the game, and that's not his go. He doesn't read the game.
That has to be a mix-up, doesn't it? Because I agree. That can't have been a deliberate, I'll go forward, you go take it.
I wouldn't have thought.
So I wonder if in that instance, if Blitz was on the wing. I think he must have been on the wing rolling forward. Shannon was taking the forward half stoppages, which is standard practice. And then maybe like this forward half stoppage
they had
sort of played towards
danger
the wing.
Danger at full forward was dangerous. Was definitely.
Was this not when danger was around the footy?
No.
But anyway, that's mixed up. There's no way that was by design. I suspect Blitz was probably playing on the wing doing like an Ollie Dempsey type off ball. If it goes forward, I'll take the winger forward.
That was to start the quarter, though, I think. Neil started the fourth quarter in the ruck.
I thought you were saying when the game was on the line later on.
When the game's on the line, you can throw it around a little bit. But to start the last quarter, Shannon Neal was in the ruck, as you know, and he but you've got Blitzarves and DeConing, who they feel is their ruckman, not playing in the ruck. Anyway, look, we can second guess all we like. The fact is the Geelong have, unfortunately, got beaten. And their season is, you know, well, it's
feels shot
on the brink. Yeah, it's gone from chocolates to boiled lollies, unfortunately for the Cats. And we've had such a good run of it. It's you know, it's that's the way footy goes. But it'd be really interesting to see how the next 6 or 7 weeks unfold in terms of selection, in terms of how they fashion the team and positions that they play players in. Because if Cameron Bruin and Jack Henry are obviously likely to be out. We don't know about Bruin and Jack Henry, but they're going to have to fashion a few in there, and they've got a few in the twos who are going well, be it older players and some kids.
Yep. Thank you, gentlemen. In the expert chair is Reg Toohey. Thanks to the City of Greater Geelong, working together for a thriving community. The KFC XBN is absolutely blown up.
Yeah,
10 local stores. There's KFC just around the corner, KFC FLG.
Carl is suggesting Jezza should have gone in for surgery weeks ago. Karma's come for us tonight. Unfortunately, lost Bruin and Jack Henry too, which didn't help our cause, but some strange decision in selection too. Surgery should start now, and let's play the kids for the rest of the year. The funny thing is, I wonder whether Geelong fans, if not that Geelong are going to do this, but if you did play some kids, I don't think Geelong fans would mind that. I mean, Geelong have been at the top for so long. Sometimes you sort of have to plan a little bit ahead, get ahead of the curve. Sam Cameron in to get his arm fixed. there's a few fans are not happy. DeList, College Asney, and Sam Bruin back to Newtown and Chilwell. Find a small forward and a couple of defenders. Look, I mean, College Asney, Tanner Bruin was actually playing quite well tonight, so I don't know where you're going with that. College Asney is what he is. Does he make the odd mistake? Yes. Is he play a role that you're going to get beaten every now and then. Yes. Is he playing on sometimes the best player for the opposition? Yes. And he absolutely towed Jake Stringer. So I don't know where you're going with that. Jake Stringer didn't have a kick until late in the game when it was, you know, I probably would have struggled down. Anyone would have struggled in defence. So I agree that now the focus perhaps for recruiting might be to find a small forward.
Yeah, like that goes on all year anyway, this whole plotting and planning for the next year. But like the season isn't a write-off just yet. We know full well we can do maths. If they drop a couple more games that they shouldn't drop, then the season is officially done. And I think we'll see some wholesale changes then. It does have the feeling of one of those seasons where if the Cats finish just mid-table and don't fire a shot, is there big decisions for the more senior players? The Cats have been very good to their senior players for a really long time, but I think people will expect heads to roll if the Cats sort of continue down the path they're going.
Arngold suggesting bring in the Warpedo Myers and the Polk. So he wants to see James Warple, Grime Myers and Young.
We have no update on Reece, do we? I know we said we think he got hurt in the VFL, but we don't know.
No, it's a glute / hamstring.
It's a glute?
Yeah.
Didn't even know he had glutes. He hides them well.
Can you message the number one and just follow
I out? Did, and he didn't reply. Nothing. I don't want to hassle the great man.
Don't.
It's a low time.
Yeah. No, he's probably watched that and gone, oh, my God.
So, Jimmy the Cat suggesting the Cats have played players out of position, pick players on history, got a bit comfortable with the same at selection. It's time for change when VFL is doing really well, and there's a reason for that. Get brave at selection. And I was one who was a little disappointed, I think he's a lovely bloke, but I was disappointed the Cats' only change this week was to bring in Jack Bowes, who every third week seems to be in and out of the team. It's you know what you're getting from Jack Bowes. There's nothing new to what he's providing. And every third week they're dropping him out, you know, claiming that he's managed, but you're not really managing a player of his age with his experience. He's being dropped out. And they bring him back tonight. Not that that was any difference in terms of the result, but it wasn't what you would classify as a braver selection. I was really surprised that Myers wasn't in when the team came out. But
my only thought with Myers, sorry, Reg, is that it's a I don't know. Play VFL today, 5-day turnaround for next week, rather than play tonight and then another travel and 5-day turnaround. Whether that might be in the thinking. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't know, but I'm going to burn the stadium down if he's not playing next week. So
don't do that.
It is ridiculous that he can continue to not play. So he has to play next week, especially with the personnel.
I know you wouldn't have heard it, Reg, but we mentioned it, referenced it pre-game, that the explanation that James Raleigh gave, which no disrespect to James Raleigh, you know, perhaps, and I'd imagine not all coaches agree with every decision that's made. They're not unanimous in there. And he gave the most wishy-washy answer you have ever heard about why Grime Myers was playing. Which is he needed to get his feet under him. And it was this sort of...
Is that another way of saying, like, he needs his confidence? Is that what he's
possibly, that's what
for?
He was angling for. But it sounded so...
just a bit nothing. Yeah. Like it wasn't really an answer.
No.
Yeah.
It was like... If you're reading between the lines, and I don't want to speak for his reading, it was like, you know, maybe he should be playing, but he's not playing. It's not my decision, and I'm going to have to try and defend it.
Yeah.
That's how it sounded.
Yeah, and there is plenty of those, and they're more frequent amongst good coaching groups who tend to butt heads. But, yeah, we talked a lot about him tonight. As listeners are probably sick of it. He has to play next week. I think that's a given, and it'd be interesting. If you could pick, hypothetical world, pluck a player from across the league that the Cats need best, who would you take?
Nick Watson.
That's what they need most, number one, you reckon?
Small
goal-kicking
pressure,
forward.
Pressure forward.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. Is that or just a genuine...
Class.
Just a class midfielder.
Yeah.
Because, like, they've got the outside covered with the two guys. Yeah. They've got the inside covered, they've no one that can do both.
They need a Finn Callaghan.
I'd love
that. Yeah, I was actually thinking, even though he's quiet tonight, because he's metres gained, he's actually a good kick when he gets a chance.
Elite kick.
Yeah.
And knock... I'm being super critical, but the one... sort of minor knock on Smith and Holmes, who are absolute guns, is that they can be quite predictable with their ball use. It's get it and kick it long, which is fine, but you need somebody who's got that ability like and I'm referencing top-end players here, Dusty Martin, Gary Ablett, Scott Penderby, who can chop the game up a little bit, who have great vision. We don't tend to have that in the midfield. You know, Smith and Holmes get a lot of it. They're territory players, but they don't have great ability to spot up.
And they have capacity, it seems like, the Cats, at least financially, to go and get a big fish, and you just wonder who it might be.
Well, that's why they're in the market for Butters.
Well, I was going to say, if you're throwing your hat in the ring for him, even if you don't get him, it says you've got a bit there.
Yeah, correct.
Which makes sense,
and
because...
He is exactly what, I mean, any club could do with
Zach
Butters,
but yes.
He is that type of player that Geelong
and
need.
There's not many of him getting about, but there's a few areas need addressing.
Darcy Wilson would be good.
Yeah.
Is there in for Darcy Wilson?
I think with Lachie Neal now ruled out at St Kilda, they're going to throw everything to make sure Darcy Wilson.
Yeah, they won't let him go. I wouldn't have thought. No. And Geelong won't. They'll have to trade to get Darcy Wilson.
Yeah.
So that puts Cats in a precarious.
Well, the only thing for Darcy Wilson is if Geelong were to miss the even a wild card spot, they'd have a top 10 pick.
Well,
that would be a start. That's not going to get
Tassie
it done.
Tassie have 1,000 picks. Geelong's first pick would be about pick 4.
It'll be a little bit deeper.
The vacuum cleaners will be going when Geelong's first pick's going with Tassie in it.
Well, that's everybody, Benny. It's not they've got picks, but they're not a multitude. So we're just hoping we can have a chat with one of the Vanquished Cats.
I'm sure a Vanquished Cat would be love to talk to us.
Well, you're happy to front up after you've won, be happy to front up after you've lost.
Do you want to do some stats?
Well, I just want to very quickly, Ben, go around the grounds.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier today, St Kilda 13-9-87, defeated Port Adelaide by 14 points, 10-13-73. Carlton and Hawthorn will bounce in about 6 minutes. Adelaide and Gold Coast at 8:10 Adelaide time. Oh, sorry, our time, 7:40 Adelaide time. VFL boys, if you hadn't heard, had a great win, 23-14-152 to 11-4-70. Big gold days for Jay Polkinghorne and Jesse Mellor. VFLW lost, unfortunately, to Tassie, 1-7-13, 5-7-37. The Devils getting the job done down at North Hobart. Local winners today, GFNL, round 13, Colac, Newtown and Chilwell, Bell Park, St Mary's and Leopold. Benny's beloved St Joseph's had the bye. Ballarine, round 14 winners, Geelong Amateur by a point over Newcombe, Port Arlington, Queenscliff and Drysdale. There was buys for Ocean Grove, Torquay and Anglesey. And in the GDFNL winners today, Inverleigh, North Geelong, Winchelsea by 2 points over the Belmont Lions, Bannockburn and Bellpost Hill. Tomorrow, Geelong West and East Geelong do battle at West Oval. That will bounce at 1:10. But let's have a look at some of the stats. Thanks to Kerr's Hire, your local hire company since 1982, Benny.
Well, the Cats ended up, if you can believe this, with 7 more inside 50s. But in the final quarter, it's probably where the game, clearly the game, was lost for the Cats. They just got completely overran. Just have a listen to some of these numbers. 105 disposals to 64, 47 contested possessions to 30. Dave's put on George and Mildred. I think we're going to be watching that. We're going to be watching that in a second. The tackle, Geelong had 25 tackles. That's because they didn't have the ball. Clearances 13 to 11. This is all in the last quarter. 17 to 7 inside 50s. And the Giants kicked 7 goals, 4 from 17 entries. Geelong kicked 1 goal in the last quarter. It was off the boot of Sean Manor, who was one of the Cats' best. So it was an absolute annihilation in terms of the inside 50 count and just the statistical measures across the board in the final quarter against the Cats. And up until basically late in the third quarter, it was all the other way. Geelong seemingly had the game in control when they led by 39 points. In the end, scores from stoppages was 6-4 to 2-4 in favour of the Giants. And that was helped by the fact that Briggs had 51 hit-outs, 15 of those to advantage. Sam DeConing had 8 hit-outs to advantage for the Cats. So 6 goals to 2 from stoppages is obviously not what you want. 4 goals, along have only lost by 2. Oliver had 36 for GWS. Toby Green had 33 possessions.
Did he
Ash
really?
Had 30. Himmelberg had 23. Bedford had 23. Iden had 22. Bedford had 2 goals to go with those 23. Hamilton, who got involved, young player, he was good as the game progressed, particularly late in the game, kicked 2 goals in the final term. They had winners everywhere. Callaghan was pretty well held in the end by O'Sheen Mullen. He had 19 possessions, 13 only effective and 310 metres gained. So that's a pretty quiet night by his lofty standards for GWS. For the Cats, look, Holmes tried hard. We thought he did his hamstring last week and might miss a bit of time. In the end, he had 34 possessions, 2 tackles, 2 clearances, 4 inside 50s, gained 700 metres. Manor probably career night, maybe 33 touches and 4 goals.
35-5 against the Lions.
He did too, sorry. I've got Alzheimer's is kicking in there. But anyway, he was probably the Cats' best player, Manor, even in the last quarter when he was trying to lift the team. When they really couldn't get any flow into their game, but he was around the ball a lot and working hard. Bailey Smith, he just works harder than your deodorant. He had 32. Dempsey had 22 and 3. He had 10 and 3 at quarter time, so only 12 touches after quarter time. Lawson Humphries had 22. Jeremy Cameron, unfortunately, got badly injured. We believe it might be a shoulder or collarbone.
Look, they're talking broken collarbone.
Okay, so broken collarbone. He was whizzed off to hospital, Chopper Reed style, and he had 19 touches in the end. Was playing really well. What are you doing, Kingy? He had 19 possessions and was going really well in the back half. It was, we talk about versatility as being perhaps a little bit of a disadvantage for the Cats at times. Well, it got him back into the contest and unfortunately ends up injured. Atkins never stops trying, 19 possessions, and Stewart also the same, 18. Ollie Henry, 16 touches and a goal. Thought he tried really hard and was okay. And we mentioned Mullen there playing on Callaghan. Just some players for the Cats who really weren't able to contribute. Obviously, Jack Henry, up until he got injured, he only had one kick. Again, he played forward. We sort of scratch your head as to why that is, given the number of marking options they have. Zach Guthrie, just not sure what's happened to Zach Guthrie. He seemingly had a good pre-season. He's just off, whatever. He's having one of those years. No doubt he'll bounce back. Zach Guthrie's a very good player. He's just not having a great season. I don't reckon he'd be top 10 in the Cats best and fairest, would he?
No, I wouldn't.
Not even close. No. Might even be top 15. He only ended up with 6 kicks, and that was it. Ollie Wilshire is a young player, so we're not going to admonish him. It's all a good learning experience for him. He was quiet, though.
He's probably one that
might go out, possibly. Although, I mean, that's the thing, Kingy. Do you, where are you at? Do you want to keep playing him, give him that game time?
Yeah, he has got another year.
If he pulls up physically, he's the type of player I think Cat fans would be happy to see again. Yeah, was he quiet? Of course he was, but he's got some speed. He's got something that's a bit different to what the Cats offer in terms of other players. So does he stay? And Shannon Neal, he was unfortunately really well beaten by one of the best in the business in Sam Taylor. Neal did not have a shot at goal, only 4 kicks, and actually spent some time in the ruck, particularly late in the game, which was also a little bit head-scratching. Nevitt probably didn't really grab his opportunity. 1 goal, 1, just 5 kicks. Got around the ball a little bit. And the other one was Dangerfield. He didn't have a great night. He started pretty well. Kicked 2 behinds, though, and only had 5 kicks for the game. Blitzarves, don't know what to make of his game. Looked better when Geelong were winning. Only ended up with 9 effective disposals. Didn't do much in the ruck. So and obviously the injuries there. We mentioned Cameron. But Tanner Bruin, he went off with was tackled. Just thought it might have been winded and then came from the field and was instantly ruled out, which is never a great sign when they're ruled out instantly. So
fair to say he didn't look happy.
No, he didn't look happy and he looked in quite some sort of discomfort. He was moving a little bit like Jaime from Get Smart. He never moved that well, particularly that day that he was in the race, Jaime, and his battery gave out about a metre from the finish line. And
did you ever watch Get Smart, Reg?
Yeah.
You remember
it used to be on, I wouldn't know the characters. Jenny used to be on, I can't think what the channel was. That and The Virginian, which was an old Western.
Yeah.
My nan used to watch. And yes. He used to go up and watch Get Smart and The Virginian.
Get Smart was hilarious. So Homie was a robot and he was a strange sort of unit, Homie, but his batteries went out doing the track and field and Max had to come and push him over the line that last metre. It was extraordinary TV. Jack Henry also injured. We digress there. Andrew Daly will be happy. And Jack Henry injured too. We don't know. He's caught one round the
throat.
Yeah, around the Gregory Peck, and he's off with a throat injury. They ruled him out as well straight away. So some injuries for the Cats, and a really disappointing night for both the team and the fans when they had a game in control and lost it, King.
Thank you, Benny.
That's the best way to describe it.
All the Kerr's high stats.
Yeah, it was comprehensive, wasn't it?
Your local high company since 1982. North Geelong Grove.
They've had 60 inside 50s again.
And it got rolled.
That's 69 against the Lions. That's telling you something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kick it long and hope
we're still,
is not a great plan going forward.
We're still trying to track down a Cat to chat to for the Sandman Mattress Factory.
Well, we've got one here.
Two convenient locations, St George's Road.
He just didn't happen to play tonight.
And Marshalltown Road in Grovedale. Benny, Hamlin Hanger. Hamlin Homes, distinctively local, and there was a lay-down mazair this evening for the Hamlin Hanger.
Absolutely, and it happened early, and we were up and about because Geelong started fast, is the expression, the football expression, and Ollie Dempsey in the first quarter ripped down one of the marks of the year.
Hamlin Hanger.
That'll be a last sue, and Geelong will have one last opportunity if Connor O'Sullivan doesn't mess around. 19 seconds to play. He's about 80 from goal. He'll send a long ball. They'll compete about 30 metres out. Big fly, Ollie Dempsey. There was no competition. He's come with a run and a jump over a pack of about 4 and taken it on his chest. and taken a Hamlin hanger and will go back and kick his third. We had the best view of that, Reg. You could see him coming.
How's he taking it on his chest? That is genuinely on four people, I reckon. That is extraordinary.
That is one of the marks of season 2026, a Hamlin hanger of some note. Certainly was.
We were up and about then, weren't we?
Yeah, good times.
They were the best of times. Yeah. They were the worst of times. 18 points up at quarter time, by the way. 39 points up, if you don't remember, at the 25-minute mark of the third quarter. Anyway, things change. Life changes. We move on, unfortunately. There's not 4 points in the bag coming home. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up from here at NG Stadium. Hopefully speaking with one of the Cats or the Sandman Mattress Factory. What else have we got? Steamatic standout, Reg.
Oh, yes, lots of them.
We'll have a bit of a head-to-head for Evolution Gas on Fires. One look around, the last look around the grounds, and then a look ahead to next week. For GMHBA Health Insurance, caring for Geelong on and off the field. Live, breathe, carol footy.
Homestyle Aged Care. The fifth quarter.